Podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is episode number 52, season 2, episode 7, and we are here to entertain you for as long as the world is not blowing up. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome to the next 45 minutes.
Nah. We were just talking about how, because we only recorded a few days ago, we didn't have a whole lot of new things to talk about, but look at that, I was still able to pull something out of thin air. Like a nuclear warhead, just like kidding.
Although, apparently, North Korea is not concerned by our president's threats, so we'll see if that bodes us any.
I don't know if it's good or bad that a crazy person like Kim Jong-un, that's probably offending him more than the tweets, is not offended by
from one crazy person to another, I think you're full of bullshit.
No, he probably saw the Fire and Fury interview and was like, yep, my dick is definitely bigger. I can rest easy.
That's probably exactly what happened.
Yeah. Anyway, I worry that we always start off with a little current event joke, and I worry we turn some people off. So, you know,
it's important to be. I always to know what's going on in the world.
I always think,
especially
it's important
if it's going to end,
to laugh about things.
Yes.
Well, Jay and I were talking because I have been talking about this very seriously for several weeks since Mysterious Universe did a 2-episode arc on, like, because one of them went to visit Hiroshima and they did like this 2-episode arc on nuclear bombs. Okay, somebody's having a what? Oh, that's okay.
Now we know that Colleen doesn't look at either one of us when we're recording.
Well, when I'm telling a story, I try not to. Shandy was waving signs in the air at us, and I saw the word off, and I was like, off, what, jack off, get off?
Trying to be subtle, when subtle didn't work.
Yeah,
like
I was
a strongly
trying to pass
worded tweet.
It was that, yeah.
You went all fire.
If you don't hit record on, if you don't hit record on this broadcast, this podcast, this feed will see deafening silence like the world has never seen before.
Although, speaking of the world ending, Daniel and I, for the first time, had a serious conversation last night about making an oh shit bag.
Oh, okay, well, this is where I was going. Okay, so about a month ago, this started about a month ago. Like, as soon as we got back from London, I started printing out things from the internet, the ready.gov site stuff, and started, like, thinking, making a list in my head of what we would need in the case of an actual... Because when we were in London, I think, was when the report came out that they had fired, like, missile practices. And I realized that we're probably realistically from... realistically, probably, you know, several years away from like an actual like annihilation. So that said, I was like, well, can't better, you know, start thinking early, because when the end of the world comes, you don't want it to be you and James Franco in a zombie house somewhere. So I was, you know, I started printing things out, and I've been talking to Jay about it, like this shit's for real. This is no joke. Nuclear war. And yesterday, he presented me a link of underground bunkers that you can have installed. And I'm super serious. They start out at a modest, like, 30 grand. And I say modest because they get up to $2 million. And I mean, like, you can have your whole family and then their extended family in some of these things. And they build them discreetly. You don't need a permit for it. You don't even need to have paperwork if you don't want people to know.
Oh, my God. They could be like a trap door in the podcasting room.
Yeah. Oh, for real. So he was like, which one would you get? And I was like, well, clearly we don't need like a $2 million one because they have financing too. I was like, let's get the mid-level like 58K one and we'll finance it, because if the world ends, they're probably not coming to collect their money for it.
Right.
So I feel like it's a great plan.
I love it. Well, it's like, I also love that you're really thinking about this seriously. It's not for nothing. I don't think they would send the nuclear warhead to Raleigh, North Carolina.
No, no, no. But
I think you're going to be okay.
But there's nuclear fallout. And in Winston-Salem, actually, there is a nuclear warhead, or two. There were two atomic bombs or nuclear warheads that were involved in a plane crash back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, something like that. And they fell, and they miraculously fell in Winston-Salem and didn't detonate. And they were able to get one of them out safely, but the other one they have not been able to.
Oh yeah, you might want that bunker.
So if something happens, sure, we might see mushroom cloud, but it would be one of those holy shit mushroom clouds, like, you know, you got 5 minutes to get someplace. So anyways, that's what I'm thinking. And today I was like, okay, after the tweet that was the "we'll never not be the greatest power in the world," my first response was, yes, let's tell that to Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar or the British Empire or the Ottomans or the any Ottomans. Of those. Yeah, like.
Well, to be fair, he hasn't heard of them.
Right.
I'm just saying. I think all those people at one point thought that they weren't going to be the most powerful nations. But I was like, holy shit. Okay, now for real, we need some kind of plan. They're going to cut communications first. They're going to, you know, Wi-Fi is going to go out. Cellular service is going to get out because they're not going to want us to be able to communicate with each other to get the word out that shit's going down. So we just need to be prepared. So welcome to the show if you just heard this. I am a crazy person. I'm generally not a crazy person, but I don't know. For some reason, I'm a crazy person now. And yeah, so now we've got contingent. We've got that, like, you know, in case of a fire, all your family meet at the top of the block plan right now. But it's more of like in case of missiles coming our way.
Yeah, yeah. No, sort of the same. Because, you know, I've seen disaster movies. I know they come to New York first.
Oh yeah, you guys so are blocked.
Yeah, so I'm concerned. So, like, and normally it's like you talk about the oh shit bag in, like, you know, a funny way. But I think it was like the first time we talked about it in any real legitimate circumstance. But then it's like then you start to think like, okay, well, what's our exit strategy? Where are we gonna go? It's like, he has a bike. I don't have a bike. There's not going to be a city bike to be found.
Well,
like,
actually,
how are you going to get out? I'm like, well, we can just go deeper into Long Island. But it's like, where are we going to stay when we get there? We don't know anyone out there.
Well, what you do is, if you have a basement in your building, because you have a very tall building, you'll actually be...
I'm sure we do.
You'll be safe there. There's a chart online, a graphic that was published, and it shows you the level of safety that you're at. Based on the kind of building that you would be hiding in. Like, even nice. Here, if I'm in the exercise room, which is underground as well and has no windows or anything, I'd still be kind of screwed because it's only surrounded by wood. Like, I don't have anything like lead lined in my house and it's only one floor under. But if you're actually in a very tall apartment building and you can get to like a parking garage that's underground or
I think ours is
a basement, you have a lot of, like, you know, brick and cement and everything that are going to shield you.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been the happiest first 10 minutes of a show
another
ever.
Another point I wanted to touch upon. And now it's gone.
Wouldn't we be able to intercept them in time?
Not if they cut communications first and we can't get our system on the grid to stop them.
I feel like we're also super underestimating the North Koreans.
All right, let's talk about something happier because this could be a rabbit hole that we go down, and it could. I don't want to give anybody nightmares.
Yeah, I just choose to not really think about it.
Well, I mean, you're
not sure, but I feel like I have to.
Well, like, to be fair to Shandy,
the city I live in.
To be fair to Shandy, you're probably going to die from an earthquake way before the nuclear bombs hit.
True.
Yeah, so yeah. You're good. The big one's coming for all.
The big one's coming.
Landslide, fires. Yeah, California's got it. It's like a little apocalyptic zone unto itself.
This is like...
Not to mention, if you guys really want to like add to your nightmares, Yellowstone's going to blow at some point. And we are like approaching when it should. And so that will wipe a lot of us out too. So...
Blow in what way? Like the geysers? Like it just
the giant volcano that should be erupting sometime soon.
Excellent.
Well, so if it's not the volcano, it'll be, you know, North Korea's missiles. And either way, cheers, guys, to the apocalypse.
Also, I was reading like some of that new research that came out about this is like the doom climate porn change. Episode. But some of that research that was just released about the climate change, and it's like worse than we thought.
Which, like, I believe that you're no longer it's no longer supposed to be called climate change. Isn't it supposed to be like environmental instability or something like that?
I missed that one.
That was yesterday. Yeah. I'm completely serious.
Or just right the now. End of the world.
Yes, yeah, seriously. Yeah.
So
new word for climate change.
That,
I believe the new word is, hold on, weather extremes. Sorry. So it's no longer climate change. It's weather extremes.
That makes sense.
Total sense.
I mean, what we are experiencing has been one extreme to another. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is definitely the natural disasters / not so natural disasters / doom porn episode of this show.
All the disasters. All the disasters.
I mean, I think the moral of the story is Trump will be the downfall of America and probably the world, either in the form of nuclear warfare or just the climate. Right. One or the other.
Unless we all do our part and help with the climate.
Yep.
Unless we all do our part and change. You know, elect different people.
Make it better.
It's a several pronged approach to the things we need to do.
For you and for me and the no, okay. Entire human race. I was waiting for Amanda to join me, but anyway,
that would be my favorite. One of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. I won't say favorite
because
that's a lot. That's a lot to put on one song.
That is a lot. That's like picking a favorite. I don't know. Name any person with a
right, but it's catalog. I like that song very, very much.
True, I do too. Maybe we should suggest that for a versus for the Ramo cast. His favorite Michael Jackson song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would pick. It's tough because Man in the Mirror. I'm partial to Smooth Criminal, Dirty Diana. I really love. This is tough.
Yeah,
This is a tough decision.
This is a tough.
Goodness me. This is like choice extreme here. the word of the episode is extreme. Speaking of extreme, I am a very, very, very tired mother of a three-nager tonight.
Three-nager?
Like,
did you invent that term, or is that like a real term?
No, it's a real term. World. It's when your child is an asshole nonstop for no reason. And we never had terrible twos, so we thought, okay, this must be because he can communicate really well. You know, he's had a good, able to talk and communicate since he was like a good year old. Like, we've always known when he wanted something. We've never had an issue, so he's never had to get frustrated. So we escaped the twos, and then over the weekend, we had literally this, like, fucking preschooler extreme, and every little thing, it's like every it's like living with a teenager. It really is. Jay was like, I am definitely paying for the sins of the mother with this one because he is definitely like me with the extreme up and downs only. And you could tell it's a thing though, because like his face is like broken out with little like 3-year-old pimples now. And
it really is like a teenager.
Yes.
Aww. He's going like little kid puberty.
And like, we can in 1 minute, like, for example, this was Monday night, maybe. What are we, Wednesday? So this was either Monday night or last night, because I can't even remember anymore. We're sitting eating dinner, and first he doesn't want to eat dinner because we were having one of our Costco meals, our chicken Alfredo. And he sees that there's pasta, so he doesn't want pasta, so he's screaming that he doesn't want pasta. No pasta! No noodles! Why Daniel Tiger on the TV? No! And I mean, like, he's been full on doing this morning. It was pajama day at school. Last night he went to bed so excited for pajama day that this morning he woke up and I was like, okay, let's put your pajamas on. He's like, ah! Like, he just stood there and did the, like, clenched fists on the stomping on the floor, like, ah! And I was like, whoa, we just woke up 3 minutes ago. What in the actual F is happening right now? So, so at dinner, we're happy that we're going to eat dinner. And then we see what the dinner is, and it's like the world is over, and like bawling and tears and screams. And then he's like, says something like that there's about the chicken, and he takes two bites of the chicken. And he goes to me, I love you, mommy. I gives him a big hug.
was just a little hangry. Just needed a Snickers bar.
But I mean, we go through, we're perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden there is something that is the biggest grievance of our entire life that's happening to us now, and we're freaking out about it, and then all of a sudden it's not a big deal, and we're all like lovey-dovey, or we're happy. It's like, it is like living with a teenager. Like, I get it now, and it's rough. I mean, Jay's in Charlotte tonight, so it's just me and Zach. We went out to dinner, which was a whole other thing because we were trying to potty train, and we've had some very successful days with the potty training where we have had no accidents. And then on Saturday, we went to a birthday party for the twins. They turned a year, and that's my friend's twins. And he was so pissed that he couldn't wear he wanted to wear the pull-ups because he didn't want to have to stop to go to the bathroom to play, that he purposely pissed his pants twice. And the first time, I know he did it on purpose because we were like, do you have to go? And he was like, nope. And then he turned around and peed. And I was like, I will change your underwear, but you can sit in your pants so everyone can see. I was terrible mother parenting. And then the second time, I was like, fine, you can put the pull-ups back on. You win this round, kid. But, okay, so we had this at school. Like, he hasn't been doing number two in the potty. He's only done it a couple of times, and it's when we keep him completely naked at home. And that's like a potty training technique that I tell you about. And so that's the only time that he's been doing it. And it's been kind of a hot mess because he squirms around on the toilet bowl, and it's just, it's not fun. So we're not even going to go into that. So anyway, at school today, he had a bad day. He pooped for the first time in 3 days in his pants twice. Yeah. He came home, so it was pajama day. He had a pair of pajamas, a backup pair of pajamas, and then a backup outfit. And he came home in clothes that were the spare classroom clothes because he went through all the others.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, man. So we're at the restaurant, and after we have the 20-minute screeching fit over, not really, but over the fact that he can't have crayons outside because they were upstairs and they don't let the kids have crayons upstairs, which is where he wanted to sit. And then we had a fit because they're chicken fingers, not chicken nuggets. And oh my God, it's not like we don't eat there once a damn week that he knows they're chicken fingers and not chicken nuggets. And then I said no French fries because when he gets French fries, all he does is eat the damn French fries. And I was like, you can pick something else. So there was a lot of injustices done. And then as we're finishing up, I say, he stands up and I was like, Zach, you do have to use the potty. And he goes, no. And then he turns around and pisses all over the floor and himself.
Damn.
It's been a long night. And
it's a real standoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then I thought he was going to feel shame. So I was like, it's okay. You know, don't worry. It happens. He didn't care. He wanted to sit back down. I was like, do not sit in that chair. There's pee all over you. And the next person that sits here doesn't want to sit. Oh, man. Somebody tell me it gets better because I'm pretty sure that I'm just going to say fuck it and let him go to fifth grade in diapers.
I do love the idea of a fifth grade Zach, like, going back and listening to his life through podcast.
I mean, like, I was thinking about that today, actually, too, because I went for a walk at lunch.
You're like, man, why didn't I just use the potty? This is so embarrassing.
No. Good times.
What was I trying to prove?
I don't know. Oh, but I have to, like, I didn't, the energy that I've managed to pull out of the last 20 minutes, I don't know where it came from, because I seriously sat down and I was like, I'm so tired. Everything hurts. I just want to go to sleep. I'm going to have no energy. But ta-da, here I am. Okay.
Seriously, somebody, I don't know how you do it. Like, I've been exhausted, like, since I got home. And it's like, why? I don't have any reason to be tired when listening to your story. I, like, made myself a tequila drink. So I was like, oh, I need to wake up. But I have no excuse. I don't know. I have, like, a chemical imbalance. I think I lived with Julia Graham too long. Our friend Julia was like, she like is a self-described narcoleptic. Like, she has to take a nap to go see a movie after 7 o'clock.
True that.
Yeah. And she'll bring an espresso with her. Not because she likes coffee, but because she needs it to stay awake.
She needs her sleep.
She does. And I always prided myself on someone who didn't need sleep. And I think...
Well, just keep telling yourself this. When the extremes all happen, you can sleep when you're inevitably dead.
That's true. Yeah. Although I have been getting up every morning and working out in my living room.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Every morning I do a half hour before I get in the shower. So I'm sleeping a little less, which, I mean, for me is less than less. But I do find it gives me a good jolt in the morning. I just can't sustain it through the end of the day. I'm still sleepy by the time I get home. But so far, so good. I feel like I really fell off the wagon with exercise. So I've been really making a concerted effort to make it a routine so that I just get up and do it.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I literally have no excuse. So that's been like my goal. It's like 33 hasn't been great so far, but at least I can like be working out every morning. I can control that.
You're not even a month into 33.
I know. So hopefully it'll get better.
It'll get better.
Yeah.
Everybody send happy kitten things to Amanda, like kitten memes.
God, that'd be great.
So she can feel better.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything exciting for the 15 minutes of talking of myself I'm probably going to cut out?
I'm trying to think about what I did. Since
not
the
a part about the
recorded.
Pants pooping, because I'm keeping that in, but all the rest of it. Yeah.
No, fifth grade Zach needs to know.
Yes, pants pooping is important. I have no pants pooping to deal with, thankfully.
None of your students have any control problems.
Oh my God, can you imagine that? No. Definitely not.
How do you say, excuse me, professor? I pooped my pants in French.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wait.
Oh my God.
Wait, actually, can you teach me how to say, did you make poopy in French?
Okay. You can say, t'as fait caca?
Café caca?
Yeah. Tafé it's an caca? Easy one. Café caca?
Like cafe or tafé?
Like ca.
Like coffee.
C-A-C-A.
C-A-C-A. Caca.
Ca. John needs to draw. Caca. Tafé caca?
Tafé caca? Like taffy, like taffy.
Ta? No, like ta.
Ta. Tafé caca.
Yes, the ta is the same vowel as the ca. Ta.
Ta. Tafé caca. Okay, I got it. Tafé
caca?
Fantastic. I'm gonna make him a shirt that says
you gotta say it with that inflection though. The inflection is what makes it.
Yes. So that's for asking him. If he wants to say it, he can say je fais caca.
I'll probably just say I have poopies coming out.
Or you can also just stay with the simple caca.
Caca?
Yeah.
Caca?
There you go.
Cool. Yes. I actually
and if he makes pee-pee on himself, then that's just pee-pee.
Pee-pee? I actually, the other night also, when we were having some kind of crisis upon getting out of the shower, which I don't even remember what it was. It might have been drying off, like with a towel. I'm not even kidding, which God knows we've never dried ourselves off with a towel every single fucking night for the last 3 years. That I was like, he was freaking out. I was like, Zach, just shut up and let me dry you off. Just stop. And I think just the utter tone, switch in my tone where I was like, I have had enough. And he was like, okay.
Like, oh, there's the line. Found it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of lines and extremes, I found this thing on Reddit like a month ago, and I've literally been saving this for a free moment in this show. And it's employers of Reddit. What was the worst way a candidate messed up a job interview with your company?
Ooh.
So they range from like, you've got to be kidding me, to they really did that, to like, is this real? This one starts out, had an interviewee show up 10 minutes late to an interview. They then told us that our clock was wrong and proceeded to take it off the wall and adjust it.
Oh, honey.
Of course, after we left, we adjusted it right back to the right time. And what somebody commented, pretty sure that guy was trying to establish an alibi. Which totally cracked me up. Let's see. A colleague of mine called this guy for an interview. He didn't show. And about 2 hours after he was due in, he called and said he'd been hit by a car. Colleague decided to give him the benefit of a doubt, and they arranged for another day. Well, that day arrives, and he doesn't turn up again. We get a call from him saying a while later saying that he'd broken his tooth on an almond and couldn't come in because he had to rush to the dentist. My incredibly trusting colleague decided to try one more time on another day. That third time, the guy turned up drunk.
Oh, my God. That probably actually, that's kind of a sad story because it probably means that he was drunk the other
exactly.
times that he had, yeah. And he's an alcoholic and it's getting in the way of his life. But
yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. There's actually several stories here that involve people bringing their parents to interviews.
What?
Yeah, dude, when I used to be the intern supervisor at my old job, I had a candidate bring their sibling.
Wow.
And then was annoyed when I said the sibling had to go sit somewhere else while we were doing the interview. They can't sit here.
That's like extreme interviewing right there.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm sorry. Your sibling can't sit next to you while I interview you for this internship. Like, no, they're going to have to go sit in the lobby.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That is so weird.
One of the comments in one of those threads was this person chimed in, like, I work for a giant global engineering company. When my boss gets a resume with a cover letter stating that the parents will be present during the interview, he just throws it away.
Why would you even state that in your cover
exactly.
letter?
Exactly.
Like, and the fact why that you say it in a way that this has happened more than once.
I know. Huh. And then somebody else said, my manager told me he once had a candidate's mom call him to follow up on her daughter's interview. And then for some reason, at the end of the call, added, she's single, by the way.
Oh,
helicopter no.
Exactly.
Let's see. Proceeded to respond to the program manager's question of what did you do / what would you do if you had a conflict with another coworker? So this was the interviewee. With an extremely long anecdote about how he worked with this guy who got his girlfriend at the time pregnant, and he had to see this guy every day at work and resist beating his ass. The program manager was then was staring at him, and then he went, oh, and said, oh. So then the guy felt the need to say, I mean, I got him outside of work, but I never touched him in work.
Oh, my God.
Another people
survive in the world.
Another one said a guy dropped a bag of meth while taking something else out of his pocket at an interview. He could have gotten away with it, but the interviewer, which was this guy's friend, is like 80% blind. So he says, oh, sorry. And the interviewer replies, for what? And he goes, oh, I dropped my meth.
I was going to say, it's like, how do you even know? Like, I wouldn't know what meth looked like compared to like coke or heroin. Like, I wouldn't know the difference.
Regardless, you would know it was drugs, though.
You would assume just by the size and shape of the bag holding it. But you know what they say about making assumptions.
Yeah.
Maybe they just like to carry around sugar. That they're just really concerned that there isn't going to be sugar.
Yeah, really diabetic. Instead of carrying like a candy bar around,
coffee, and they're just really afraid that coffee shops aren't going to have it. You know, like you can't trust different offices and like their
that's true.
Their they kitchenettes, might, you just don't know.
They
you
need
just have
that
to be
sugar in the raw. They might, you know, it might just be sweet and low somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, fuck sweet and low. So there's that. I wouldn't want to use that. I would carry on a bag of sugar. If the alternative was sweet.
Some people carry around ranch dressing. Some people carry around hot sauce. Some people
carry around ranch dressing. Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. That's why they make the little travel sizes.
Really?
Yeah, I know they make like little travel size like srirachas. They're like little keychains. You can like put them on your keys.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. For when you really cannot be without your favorite car. You can just have a little travel size.
This one guy got a resume from somebody and it had his likes and dislikes on it. And under dislikes was the company he applied for.
Oh my gosh. It is obviously just an oversight, right? Like he didn't double check. I don't know.
You know, when you're just applying to things and just throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, good times. Anyway, so yeah, there were some fun things, and there's a whole bunch of them, but I got a real good kick out of reading some of these. Some of the other ones are like inappropriate email addresses.
Oh God. Just like get yourself a first name, last name, email address, right, and call it.
This is not 2001. Like stop right, it exactly. with your clever email. Like, no, that's not the place to be clever.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can still keep your like sexy bitch 69 at hotmail.com, but just like forward it to your Gmail account.
Yep. No, don't even keep that. That's not even clever. Right.
Get out of here. Another one was, I was interviewing a woman for a customer service position. Her cover letter said multiple times she was great with people. Before sitting down across from me in my office to conduct the interview, she sticks her leg out in my direction and points to a scab on it. It was clearly infected and had been picked at. She then proceeds to ask me my opinion about it. If it was indeed infected and should she see a doctor?
Who are these people?
Oh, wait, so it's her leg that had the scab. I thought it was the...
No, it was the interviewee's.
It was the interviewer. I was like, oh, that's just rude. No, it's just gross, actually.
Yes. And then I will finish with this one. A woman I interviewed talked about her breasts, her ex-boyfriend stalking her, how she packs heat at all times, even though it's illegal in certain places in our state, how she had a child at 15 and regrets it, and that the child is being taken care of her mother, who refuses to speak to her, how her last job was cleaning up shit at a Burger King, and she spoke in graphic detail about cleaning up shit with pennies in it, and how she was fired from that job for some reason, quote unquote, and how she wants to bang our manager. I wish I was making this up.
Oh my God.
Ta-da.
That's amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of them, but yeah, like they range from like somebody saying they're allergic to dogs that was applying at a veterinary clinic, or somebody making anti-Semitic comments about too many Jews working at the company. Damn. So anyway, yeah, people say the darndest things.
You do say the darndest things.
Anyway, speaking of the darndest things, I have a rant, and I know. There's a Sean Spicer ad playing on my computer.
Oh dear, what is it saying?
It's a Nordstrom ad. Okay,
with Sean Spicer?
I don't know. His picture was on it, and then Nordstrom's appeared.
I know the White House doesn't pay a ton, but man.
I wonder what his job interview.
It's like, well, tried selling my soul, didn't go so well, so back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Oh, my.
You're constantly thinking.
Okay,
about
now it's an acne commercial.
Commercial just doesn't really know what it wants to.
I know you
promote.
Guys can't hear it, but everybody else here can hear it. So maybe this will actually make it. Okay, there we go. Make this sound better. I know Shandy knows this rant. It was what I tweeted today.
Ah, yes.
So remember the women only Wonder Woman screenings? That
yes.
All the little bitch men of Texas and the internet were bitching about. So, an Austin movie theater is being accused of violating anti-discrimination laws after promoting women-only screenings of Wonder Woman. Now the chain has apologized for the screenings in a letter to the city. Alamo Drafthouse admitted their advocacy of a film screening for women was in violation of anti-discrimination laws in Texas. The apology follows an outpouring of dissent from men who claimed that they felt discriminated against, resulting in two official complaints to be filed with the city. Respondent did not realize that advertising a women's only screening was a violation of discrimination laws, the theater wrote to the city. Respondent has a very strict non-discrimination policy in place, but this policy did not include a specific prohibition against advertising. The complaints were filed against Albany Law Professor Stephen Clark, an anonymous man.
Wow, he doesn't have the balls to stand behind it?
Yeah, seriously. Clark, a gay lawyer specializing in sexual orientation and employment law, explained that the promotion of the screenings didn't sit well with him. I'm a specialist in anti-discrimination law, so I was fairly certain that this is not lawful, he told My Statesman. They are doing a gay-only Brokeback Mountain, I'd feel the same way. Blah, 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 blah. So essentially the rest of the article is In order to appease those who complain, they're offering to send those men DVDs of Wonder Woman.
No, because not for nothing. Like, that's not the only screenings of the film they're offering are women only, I would imagine, right? That'd right. be the only way I could see that being unlawful. It's like, yeah, only women no. come see any of the screenings. But, like, if you're doing one screening at six, like,
well,
come on. No.
That's not even my issue. Like, sure. Like, technically, yes. They weren't allowed to have any screenings that were only for that, you know, were only for a specific group. Fine. That's fine. They apologized. Why are their dicks so small that they have to fucking pursue this, that they need beyond an apology? They need free DVDs and they need to sue the, you know, complain against the city. It's like, really? Like, you're that much of a special fucking sensitive snowflake that you feel that you, it wasn't even in the fucking city.
No, it's not about
let it go.
Your dick's too small. It's about the money at that point. It's about the fact that you know you can exploit the company and they have money and you can get some of it. Like, that's what it is.
But the people that were complaining to begin with, I mean, come on.
If they really were, like, truth of their convictions, they wouldn't be anonymous.
Yes.
They would say their name if it was really about the issue. They're after money.
Well, I think all of those
go, Shandy, go.
First and foremost, they can all just fucking suck my dick. Like,
take a chill pill.
I just, like, I understand the legal argument. And it's probably actually correct.
Exactly.
However, men are not a discriminated group. Like, they're so it's like the rules aren't kind of the same. And I get the argument that they have to be the same. And yes, that's what we should strive for. But they're like, seriously, a bunch of dudes are going to complain about this? Like, go fuck yourself. It's like
they're complaining because there's money in it.
Right. You are not a settlement. You are not a minority group that's discriminated against. Like, go fuck yourself.
But and the thing that gets me about this is that, because yes, I see that's the money, and I see that I'm not even trying to say, well, you know, that's stupid. The law should change. I get that's the law. I'm totally fine with their apologizing. It's all the bitching and complaining because something is not fair. It's a movie. Get over it. There are other things in this world that actually are going to change the price of beer. You having to go to a different movie time is not something that's the end of the world. And it's not even that big of an injustice. It's not an injustice really at all when you think about it.
Well, I think the kind of fucking bro that's going to complain about something like that is probably not the kind of guy that like really does want to watch Wonder Woman anyway. That's what I don't get.
I don't know.
Exactly. That's why I feel like you complain. You know, it's like sort of like when a little kid falls down and scrapes their knee and they look for a reaction from everyone, like from their parents before they respond. Like, I think that's what we were dealing with here. That it's like, you know, they fell down and they like, ow, oh, that hurt. They saw they got a reaction. They're like, cha-ching, cha-ching. I'm going to react all the way to the bank.
Yeah. No, but anytime that you have people who probably, like, these are the kind of, again, these are the kind of dude bros that are probably, like, terribly sexist douchebags themselves. So anytime that somebody like that is going to then turn around and try to be like, I'm being discriminated against, or, like, white people who are, like, reverse racism, like, go fuck yourself. It's like, no.
And I get it. I come from a background.
For a couple hundred years, and then we can talk.
Right.
That's, I just think it's something like a movie, like, that is the dumbest thing to make such a big deal about, honestly. Whatever. But yeah. I mean, they're getting what? A
but
DVD
also,
is like $25 bucks nowadays, $29.99. Yeah, so they're getting something.
No, but it is the exact same kind of people that would complain about affirmative action that don't understand that, like, the history. Why do we need affirmative action? What are, like, you think you're being discriminated against? Like, no. Your spot's not being taken away. We're giving a chance to these other people who have, for all of these reasons, not had the same chances as you to begin with. So it's just, they can go fuck themselves. I have very little patience for all of these fucking assholes, of which there seem to be more and more. Or they're like, I mean, they were always there, obviously.
Right. I don't think that there's more and more. I think they just have a bigger
place.
They're empowered to stand a little taller and speak a little louder.
Yes, and wag their tiny, tiny little dick a little bit harder.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not tiny. It's very big.
Yeah, wait a second. I thought you said it wasn't about small dicks. Speaking of dicks, See, we're an equal opportunity news source of source of news here. Speaking of dicks, this was posted in the Facebook group a while ago, but I really wanted to talk about it. Okay. What if instead of using a password, you could just use your penis as a password? So instead of like thumbprint, it's like penis biometrics or dickometrics.
So, but how? Like, do you like poke your mouse or like, is it a flopping?
I think it's like in.
That's what she said to you. Poke like a new euphemism.
Poking the mouse.
Okay, so for example,
poking the mouse.
My husband just got a new computer, and it has facial recognition to unlock the computer instead of doing a password. So would it be the same kind of thing that you just have to show your penis? Honestly, I was going to say our penis is all really that different. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, actually, yeah, most of the penises I've seen have been like wildly different. But really, are there that many differentiating features? I don't know.
Well, and also what's the thought process? Like, why is that more like accurate form of security as opposed to like your face or your fingerprint, which are both equally unique?
I would say probably a lot more unique than the penis. Again, thinking about penises, they do kind of look all very different, but still. Then it's like, your penis has to always look the same, right? So like,
well, when you do your thumbprint on the iPhone.
Well, and imagine if you took your laptop to like a workspace or like a the cafe down the street to do a little work. And you're like, excuse me, guys, gotta get into my computer. Pardon me, this will only be a minute.
Okay.
Zip.
So,
but again, like with going back to the movie screening, like why are we only talking about like penile recognition? Like, do these people not even consider the other half of the population? Well, women
literally, we like have to get up and like.
That's because women would never ask for such a stupid, stupid thing. Like, we're just not that ridiculous. So there's no need to. Yep.
My fingerprint works just fine.
Okay, so according to Mashable, if anybody is actually like, I mean, Shandy just kind of explained it pretty well, but Dickometrics works. You'll be able to use a pic of your dick. You can use a dick pic in place of a more traditional password. Do this, you'll need to supply an establishing shot of your member. Then when you go to log in, they'll use proprietary penis recognition tech to match your penis to the initial photo. The eventual plan is to be able to use a penis print the same way you use a fingerprint. So if you'd like your peen on a reader, and then some beeps and boops would happen, and voila.
I feel like this is going to be huge in the porn industry.
Or even just like in the, again, like all of the men who were so against the Wonder Woman screen, all women screenings, like I think it would be like really
totally
sell
the
well
first
with
ones to pull their dicks out for the picture.
Well, right.
No, yeah, exactly. Like that's the kind of person who needs like reassurances about their penis. And so they're going to like feel really good that the computer can recognize it. And like, I think that's the audience for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there any, women don't really have something that we could use to identify that way. I mean, I guess we could do vagina shots, but.
But again,
or like your boobs, like, but I feel would? Like
the. Your boobs yeah. change Why? All the time.
Yeah. True. Really? I don't know if mine do.
Mine don't either.
The shape of your boobs and everything change depending on where you are in your cycle every month.
What? No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Speaking of which, second period or maybe third, I can't remember, of 100% thinks.
And
I just like, it makes me so happy. I just, it's like the thing that I never knew that I needed that has completely changed my life. And it's weird. It's like, it sounds like an exaggeration to say that it's completely changed my life, but it really fucking has. It's like the coolest thing ever.
Life changing.
Exciting. Nice. I might have to invest, but I feel like I don't get my period enough to like.
So get a pack of three.
That's true.
And if you want to, I can send you my code, and you can get $10 off.
Okay, yeah, send it along. I'll think about it.
All right.
All right. So speaking of penis, have we talked about Will's second annual new beauty pageant?
No, I still haven't even seen the pictures. They get lost in the feed, right? It was a picture.
Yeah.
Sorry. Should we just re-record that? Did I mess it up?
No. I can edit it out. Let's see. Is it in...
Is it in patrons or...
It's in patrons, but if you just scroll down, it's a giant picture of naked dudes. You can't miss it. There's three of them. It's abs everywhere. Rrr. Rrr. Yes, here it is.
Yeah, I can see.
So, the Sweethearts of Portland's event, Will says, hard to believe it's been a year since I called into the broadcast about being a judge in this pageant. Sorry if it's too dirty.
Never.
This is not too dirty. I mean, we talked about something called the Bannon last week. I think we're good. I mean, we don't masquerade as PG-13, but we really are. We really are.
Oh, shade.
I'm just saying. I mark that R every week. I know it turns people off from listening to us, but I feel like I have to be honest. We'll find our audience one of these days. We'll find our people. Yeah. Tell a friend about us.
I think our people that do listen like that we are ourselves.
Exactly.
I personally like that I don't have to censor myself. This is like the one place in my life, except for with my like
orgasms?
Super close friends.
Oh.
No, but think about it. It's like the one place where I don't have to censor myself. At work, you're constantly censoring yourself. Like, I don't swear at work. I don't, I don't talk about politics at work.
I have a like Trump that. Administration bingo card at work. The politics ship has sailed. Okay, drank champagne and watched Hillary's Wellesley speech at 10 a.m. one morning, okay?
My work environment is, I guess, a little bit different, but...
there's a benefit in working in an office with four people.
Yes.
Yep. Sorry.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, no. Yeah, you were saying...
No, but it's just nice not to censor. Yeah, it's nice to not censor my oneself.
Give us an F-bomb, Shandy.
Fuck yeah.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Own it. Own that R rating.
I was just talking about how much I love bleeding into my underwear. So, I feel like I've got it. And that's just it. Like, at work today, I was walking around the whole day like, I'm bleeding into my underwear.
It was like Mary Tyler Moore, like, I'm gonna bleed here after all.
But yeah, it was great. And I actually ended up tweeting about it because I was like so having this moment of happiness that I was bleeding into my underwear and felt like I needed to share it with somebody, but I couldn't say it at work. So when I left for my lunch break, I was like, oh, take to Twitter. I've made my Twitter page private so I can do that.
Oh my god.
Dude, I still can't find the picture from Will. I'm
just
all the
look
way
for
back.
The naked dudes.
I did. I'm all the way back to July 26th and I haven't seen
it's
any.
It's from August 6th.
Wait, can you do a can you do a search in the group?
Just go to the patrons and then scroll down.
Oh, I said the Facebook group and you said no.
I said yeah, I said the patrons group.
I thought you said the Facebook group.
Oh,
you
I
said
just
the
found it.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
What is the dude in the middle picture doing?
That's why I haven't been listening. Like, I've been having a hard time. There it is.
So you see his head on top.
Uh-huh.
And then his head is on his knee.
Oh, he's in like an Adonis pose.
Yeah. It's a really, it's nice. Very nice.
I don't think his kneecap is in the right place.
People's knees get fucked up.
You should see mine.
I like the repetition of the round forms.
Fantastic.
Especially in a dude, because it's usually not as...
Will, when you go there this year, can you take pictures?
Oh.
Or is that not allowed?
It might not be allowed, but...
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
I would second that. As long as the rule state that you can, I would
I think
that.
We're going to need a naked beauty pageant report, like a Trudeau report.
Oh my god.
With a slideshow. Because
yes.
Not to put pressure on you, but Dennis gives us a slideshow every week.
Right. Right. And it's got fun puns on it.
It does have fun puns. And you could have fun buns on yours. But up, Chuck.
Buns and guns.
Oh. We will be here all week until the next episode is out. All right. We have some feedback. Facey back? Do we want to get to that?
Oh, I suppose.
Yes.
Or we want to keep making naked people puns, because I'm all for naked people puns, too.
Oh, my God. That would be pretty great as well.
I was just reading the description, and they're emphasizing how the Mr. Nude pageant is for anyone who identifies as male. And I was just thinking about our Wonder Woman question. But anyway, turns out sometimes.
Although I do like that language, like identifies as male. I think that's.
Yes. No, and they even go on to say it's a celebration of all male identified individuals, be it trans male, bi male, straight male, plus size male, bear male, daddy male, or smooth twink male. So all of the above. That's great.
That's like a calendar.
Your genitals or weight do not determine. Your genitals or weight do not determine your qualification for this title.
Nice.
Fantastic. Oh,
I wish I could go. Portland, man.
It's far.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
I got no pun for that. I was thinking. I squinched my face a little to think. But.
Yep. All the rain and all the fancy mustaches.
True.
Yes. And all the coffee. Oh, that's Seattle.
And
right?
All the coffee.
That's Seattle.
Seattle's the coffee. And the throwing fish.
Yeah. Yes, real world.
Portland's more, like wax tipped mustache and artisanal hemp soap.
Oh, speaking of artisanal things, did Will ever make the artisanal squatty potty?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if we ever got an update on that.
Okay, we need to.
Yeah.
They're cutting down a tree in my backyard, a tree that's broken anyway, and it's like leaning, and it's like not a good situation.
So, Will, I can send you the wood.
I was just going to say that. If you can Pinterest me something, I will maybe hot glue some wood together into a squatty potty.
I feel like you would need more than hot glue. I feel like hot glue is not really good for...
I can take a hammer and nail, but that's about it. If I need a drill, I'm done for.
No, you could probably do it with like some carpentry nails.
Yeah. I mean, technically you don't need a lot. You just need to make it so that you can squat on it. I mean, in San Diego, I just dragged a suitcase in and used that.
I mean, essentially you'd just be making like a wooden stool.
Exactly.
Or a wooden box, an apple box.
Exactly. I took my shoes off, Shani.
You would be making something that already exists.
Truth, whatever.
Amanda missed the side combo, which is in San Diego.
About the suitcase?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, no, I got it. I was listening. Yeah.
So when we had our company, they used the squatty potty. Like, I forgot to even warn them, like, hey, there's a weird thing in the toilet. We didn't tell them anything, and we just talked about it, like, a couple of days after they were here. Like, oh, yeah, we tried it.
It's amazing.
It's nice. They liked it.
It's amazing how many people use a squatty potty, but it's, like, one of those things you don't really, like, go around asking people, but then they see it in your bathroom, and they're like, or you see it in somebody else's bathroom, and you're like... We've got some camaraderie going on. Like, my coworkers and I, last Monday... Like, my boss, you know, took us all to the movies, and then afterwards, I was like, oh, I live across the street from the movie theater, because I do. I was like, does anybody want to see my new house? And they took turns peeing, and one of them came out and was like, you have a squatty potty. And I was like, I do have a squatty potty. I was like, yes, it did the best.
That's like, I think I told the
you
story on the podcast.
You have respect for each other. Sorry. Yeah.
I think I told the story on the podcast before about how one of my students like mentioned it in class, and I like got really excited and started talking about it, and had to be like, "Don't show your cards. Don't let them know. Don't let them all know." But he was like, he was talking about how like he had like the travel one too. He was like a hardcore.
Did you? You should have asked him. You should have said "tafe kaka."
Well, it's a student, so we have to address them formally. So now all of a sudden it has to be, vous avez fait caca?
Oh, I would be like, t'as fait caca, mes jours?
It's a really funny thing.
All right.
Straight out of the little print.
Let's wrap this shit up with some feedback. Look, I'm still putting. All right, so let's start with some facey back. I'm bringing facey back. Woo!
What?
Okay, so we start off with Greg, who says, I am not anonymous 69, but now I wish I were. Darn. Susan said, awesome etiquette podcast has all the answers to who pays for and much, much more. Who pays when and much, much more. Apparently, I can't speak tonight. So go hit that up after you're done listening to us. Dennis says, oh my God, I have to pause it to catch my breath after Colleen's crazy travel story. Now I'm dreading my upcoming flight to Missoula, which I feel like there was a very buried lead there, which is he's going to Missoula.
Yes. Right.
It's fun. We've been like messaging because I was like, oh my God, you're going to Missoula. So I've been like sending him stuff to do. I would say the only reason that you should be nervous about your flight to Missoula is just because it's always on that like tiny little small plane, and they have to, the captain has to like land, you know, like in a valley, like in the mountains, but you know, they're trained, they're good. And then when you get to the airport, it's like this tiny little airport with a bunch of taxidermied animals all around.
Oh my God, really?
For real. Like there's a grizzly bear, there's a mountain lion, there's a mountain goat, like there's, yeah. That's the Missoula, Montana airport. It's exactly what you would
expect. Sure, why not?
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
True story.
I want to go to Montana to see it. Yeah, it's amazing.
That would be fun.
Matt says, pull it out, set it down, flop. That's what she said. And that was when I was talking about the Trudeau care package, which I'm so happy that somebody caught that. And we have some follow-up about The Handmaid's Tale in the Facebook, and that is from Matt. Some additional Handmaid's Tale thoughts. Really love the music choices. The song that plays at the end of the finale reinforced the themes of hope amidst the turmoil.
Yes, I agree. I thought all the music was really, really well placed and really cool.
Yeah.
Good mix of juxtaposition really and like, because yeah, it wasn't always like, oh, that makes perfect sense. There were some really cool like curveballs. You're like, oh, what an awesome choice. So yeah, whoever their music supervisor is did a bang up job.
Yeah, totally agree. I love the music in that show. And then Lori had sent in something, an article from The Hollywood Reporter on Elizabeth Lizzie Moss. Okay. Oh, I thought somebody was going to read it.
Sorry, I went down the rabbit hole of looking at the pictures.
I know.
All right, I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay, so it's an article from The Hollywood Reporter. It's titled, How Elizabeth Moss Became an Accidental Activist When Handmaid's Tale Took on Trump. It's a long article, but the headline, with her Hulu breakout scoring 13 Emmy nods, including Best Actress, television's reigning and surprisingly foul-mouthed star opens up about season 2 and her political awakening. I'm a staunch believer in women's rights. I don't really give a shh about anybody who isn't. It was censored, so I felt as I should read it as thus.
Oh my God, Elizabeth Moss would totally belong on the broadcast.
Yes. Can we get her?
Everybody tweet at her.
Is she on Twitter?
On Twitter. Probably. Everybody's on Twitter. I'm sure she's on Twitter. Anyway, she says that in the article she's been donating to the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and has found ways to incorporate the organization's pins and ribbons onto her red carpet looks and her Instagram feed for her 250,000 followers to see. To finish up the quote from that Melissa, wow, that Amanda just read.
Or I could be a Melissa, whatever, you know. Call me whatever you feel is right.
I think the author of this article is Melissa, because as I was scrolling down, like the name just kind of popped out at me.
I did once get stopped by a woman at the hair salon who swore I was Melissa.
That's really funny. That's your name?
Yeah, like grabbed me by the arm. It was like, Melissa! And I'm like, no. It's very bizarre. She's very convinced that I was her friend Melissa, and I was decidedly not.
Well, you know, all redheads look alike, so
that's true. I've heard that.
I've never heard that.
So I'm a staunch believer in women's rights. I don't really give a shit about any. It's not. I'm censored here. Anybody is. Isn't it's like I don't need them to watch the show. At a certain point, things are more important than your job. Just like as a certain point, things are more important than a fucking movie screening for women only. And that's how you tie it all back.
Yeah.
Okay, they talk about the Twitter mob in this article, so she's definitely on Twitter. And she only has 250,000 followers, so I feel like at least 10 of you tweeting at her could maybe get her attention.
Yeah, who knows? I guess we'll see.
That would be so amazing, but I don't think she'd waste her time. But it would be so amazing at the same time. My dream
time that would when they wrap shooting on season two.
True. I don't even think they've started shooting it, have they?
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. She's probably doing like 8 million other things. But speaking of like potty mouth female celebrities, I would love to get Adele on the broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, she said she was taking time off. What is she doing?
Yeah, she's not talking. I talk a lot. She'd barely need to talk. She'd just need to be here.
Although, man, coordinating those time zones. Oh.
That's okay. For a one-off, we could
Totally do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be so bad for you guys.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about you. That would be rough.
I could take a day
off. How is it tomorrow, Adele?
I would use some BDO for that.
What do I have to look forward to?
Oh my god. Okay. Speaking of one-offs and I don't know, whatever. Please do not put glitter in your vagina. I think Shandy's been dying to read this.
So this is Lori sending in a follow-up about the original article she had sent us a while back about Passion Dust glitter. And this article, this response in Bust is hilarious. So yeah, Erica W. Smith writes, please do not put glitter in your vagina. And she starts off talking about how the latest weird vagina trend is glitter. That's right. Apparently people are sticking little pills full of glitter in their vaginas. She goes on to describe the product and how the product is described on its website, etc., which we went over when we talked about Passion Dust. And I just love how then afterwards she says in bold, hopefully we don't need to tell you this, but please don't put glitter in your badge. Gizmodo writes that the Passion Dust is made from gelatin, starch-based edible glitter, acacia powder, Zea maize starch, and vegetable stearate. OBGYNs from all over the internet are telling you not to use them. Dr. Jen Gunter details just a few things that could go wrong. Could the plastic be a nidus, whatever that is, for bacteria? Sure, I've seen a nasty inflammatory vaginal discharge from sand, so this could be a similar setup. Might the little flakes of plastic produce vaginal wall granulomas? A granuloma is walled off inflammatory mass produced by tissue in response to a foreign body. They could. If it isn't plastic and it's sugar, well, depositing sugar in the vagina lets the bad bacteria go wild. Studies looking at treating bacterial vaginosis with vaginally administered probiotics were halted because the glucose keeping the probiotics alive made the bad bacteria go wild. Could the vehicle be an irritant and cause a vaginal contact dermatitis? Yes, and ouch. Think vaginal sunburn. Is it possible the goo might damage the good vaginal bacteria, leading to infections as well as an increased risk of STIs? You bet. Given how tacky it looks, it is unlikely to imitate lubricant, or a safe one anyway. What impact will this vaginal have on vaginal pH? Unknown. And then she just ends the article with a short list of things that you should put in your vag. 1, your fingers or a sex partner's fingers. 2, a sex partner's penis if you're into that. 3, sex toys. 4, tampons or menstrual cup, which I would put an asterisk next to and say you don't have to if you get period panties. But anyway, that's about it. Please don't stick glitter up your vagina. I promise you it's magical enough as it is. True story.
I feel like if you're getting vaginosis from this, it's probably impacting your vaginal pH, though. Because isn't that, you know, don't you gotta...
It's just like it's a very delicate ecosystem.
And it self-regulates, which is why, hello, we do not need douches. And yeah, it just takes care of itself. Like, you don't need, don't need to be putting shit up there.
So, in case we need to, again, bold, italics, caps locks, underlined, repeat, don't put glitter in your vag.
Yep.
Okay. The end.
The end.
Put something more fun in your vag.
Put something more fun. And any one of those. Actually, tampons or a menstrual cup is not on the fancy panties list, but the other three.
Sexual, though.
Well, okay. It's sort of.
Yeah.
It's like one of these things is not like the other.
Right.
It's like pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. cleanliness.
And just hygiene. Necessary.
Yeah, pleasure, 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 hygiene. Actually, one of my thoughts today when I was cleaning Zach's poopy pants, I was like, I need to, because this is a lesson learned, I need to buy multiple packs of the same, like, little kid underwear. So he doesn't know the difference. I need to treat all little kid underwear, all little kid underwear as though they're period panties.
That was
the lesson that I learned, and I did think of that as I was sitting there hating my life for that moment in time where I was like, why am I cleaning this? I could just throw it out. That's just another part of the three-nager. They have their own period poopy panties.
Poop-nado with the three-nager.
Oh, poop-nado. All right. So speaking of fancy panties, we have a fancy panties email. Woo!
Yay!
All right. Who wants to read it?
All right. So this email is from Michael. Hey, ladies. I calculated my FP number, and I came up with 20. With another person in the room, we may have had sex in the back seat of a minivan while my parents drove us on vacation.
Woo!
Get it, guy.
I was younger, obviously, but I would guess that counts as the same room.
Sure.
Also,
I think there's one for a car, right?
In front of us.
How did that work? God. I'm guessing.
Oh my god!
I'm guessing that also checks off sex in a skirt or a dress.
Probably.
Yes. And then he closes it out. Shandy, I'll do my. Okay. And he closes it out. Shandy, I will be doing Big Sur next year. I already let little Timmy Allen know. Best regards, Mike.
Who the fuck is Timmy Allen?
I have no idea.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, not a name I'm familiar with.
Sure. I think,
pronounce it.
Honestly, my favorite part about this email is first, the very formal sign-off, but most of all, I really love that he put a period after his name. Best regards, comma, Michael, period. So here's my question. How does he know that he's doing Big Sur next year? The lottery's going on right now.
He got in.
I entered. What? How did he already get in? Oh, with groups, maybe?
Is there a pre-qualification?
No, I'm pretty...
Okay. He must have registered with the group. So with Big Sur, it's limited. And so they've started this lottery system where there are all these different categories and you can put your name in the lottery. And if you get selected, then you can sign up. And so I put myself in for the group category. That was the first one. And I didn't get selected. And then right now I'm waiting to hear back for the locals category, which is how I got into Big Sur last year. Yeah. But so that means that he must have got in the group one. But anyway, there are other categories and then just like a general category also. And so we're finding out kind of like right now. And then there's like a last chance one in a couple of weeks, I think. But
I do find it amazing that there are so many people that like to run marathons that it's hard to get into one.
Well, it's, I mean, like,
that's so crazy to me.
They have to limit the number of participants because Highway 1 is like pretty small. And
but like, we're still talking like a couple hundred people, right?
No, there's like thousands of people, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's like 5,000 that do the marathon.
Yeah, but, like that's a lot of people that want to run that long. Like that's. And the fact that how many go into this lottery and don't get chosen. Like, that's crazy.
Big Sur is like a destination marathon. It's like one of the, you know, big sort of like famous ones. Like, it's really picturesque. And again, like, it's, you know, most other marathons aren't necessarily limited to like 5,000. Like, you'll have like trail runs that are limited to.
Yeah.
To, you know, even less than that, maybe because it's just small, like you don't have a lot of space. And on Highway 1, like there can't be overflow because the overflow is in the ocean. So
that's literally overflow.
Yes, exactly.
It becomes more like a triathlon than a marathon.
Exactly.
Dare I say that's running extreme? Sorry.
Yes, exactly. To keep on burning. For tonight. Well, that's exciting. So hopefully I will get into, fingers crossed, and we might be running it together.
Awesome. Now Mike doesn't have to stalk you from behind in San Francisco. Yeah. And then finally, we have a Version Watch 2017 update from Andy. Take it away, Shandy.
All right.
By the way, I've made you our designated Virgin Watch email reader.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it for multiple reasons. So Andy says, hey ladies, Virgin Watch continues. Not much to report, but a quick follow-up I forgot to mention in my last email. The woman I think liked me by accident blocked me a few days later before I worked up to the nerve to ask her why. I guess I'll never know, but it's not a big loss. I'll keep you posted about future developments, but nothing's changed yet. Hopefully we don't wind up in a nuclear wasteland, because that'd be a bad way for Virgin Watch to end, to say the least. Oh my God. Yes. Andy, I will personally sleep with you if that's like our last, your last chance. I won't let you die, Virgin. If the nuclear bombs are coming.
We'll and that's why the broadcast is the best cast. Oh my God. Then he's got to change the hashtag from I'm with hers to I'm in hers.
Okay, I think that's the title of the episode.
Oh my God. Sometimes they just come to you.
That's what she said.
It's like this when you know the world is going to end. You just go for broke with everything.
Yep. That's right. Nothing left to lose.
You know what? I think that we have the right idea with Zach. We should all just walk around without pants on.
The world's going to end while we're pants.
Exactly. Get comfortable with shitting yourself.
It's going to happen when we're all laying in the streets dying. So.
Exactly.
You've got to squeeze all out as much living in as you can. So no time for pants.
I don't even know where we were going from there.
Where is it you go from there?
Oh goodness. My favorite Michael Jackson song is Amanda, the vet bills and dental bills, you don't have to worry about them. The world is ending.
Yeah, seriously.
Again, nobody's coming to collect them.
Yeah.
No, my favorite part, though, about that underground bunker thing, let me see if I can pull it up, the link, because the FAQs were so damn priceless. It was literally like, do you need a permit? Do you need to do this with paperwork? And it was like, you could have this in total secret. Like, we won't tell anybody. If you want to go save your own life and fuck over your whole family, totally fine.
We can build you a one-person-size bunker.
Exactly. Can you imagine, though, if you had, like, a family and you built a one-person-size bunker in secret? And they were just like, you know, where's Amanda? Where's Shandy? And you, like, you know, like,
martial law, everyone for themselves! Screw you!
That is kind of the American way.
It kind of is.
Or make it a two-person, like, so you pick your favorite family member.
Okay,
that feels very American somehow, like a reality show as to who wins.
Yes.
We're
gonna vote the rest of the family. Yeah.
Essentially, just Donnie Two Scoops and Ivanka are the only ones that survive in that case.
Oh my God, what does that mean for the perpetual
helpless
human species?
No, they've got a mountain bunker somewhere.
Yeah, but you know he's leaving Eric and Job out of it, so.
Oh yeah. Don Jr. is probably out too at this point.
That's what I'm talking about, Job. Yeah. Job Trump.
Job. I get the joke now.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. FAQs. This is literally my favorite part of this site. And it's called risingbunkers.com. Which sounds kind of dirty too.
His bunkers have been kept down for too long.
The oppressed bunkers.
The oppressed bunkers.
Like, just, bunkers are not a fucking minority class.
Bunkers Stop. Have not been this popular since the 50s.
Stop calling out reverse bunkerism. Not reverse
bunkers. It's not a thing.
Oh my god. But just think, you can set, it's martial law, you can set your own rules and you can have as many women-only screenings.
Yeah. But why do I find feel a movie like... theater that you can break into?
Why do I feel like in the case of that, it would go back to just men only screenings?
Right,
exactly.
Okay. Do you require a permit? Nah, Rising S Bunkers does not. Oh, Rising S Bunkers. Okay, does not require a permit, nor will we ever ask you to provide one. This is between you and your local municipality. In most cases, they won't require one. If you choose to take that route, then we'll assist you in dealing with local entities. Is there a paper trail associated with my underground bunker? No. Shortly after your unit is installed, we will destroy all records associated with your location. God.
This is like for real, like doomsday preppers. Like, this is like legit.
Mm-hmm. No, but for their like records, don't they need to keep stuff for like 7 years or something? Like, no,
I don't know. Nah. Do you finance? Yes, we do. Financing a bunker is a very hard procedure, and most banks will not lend, probably because they know in the event of nuclear war, it's not a good bet to cash in on. However, we have obtained a few lenders who are willing to work with you depending on the type, location, and course of your credit score. Or, of course, your credit score. It only takes 2 to 3 days for delivery to completion when they install the units. But when I, like, say that there's, like, let me go all the way down to the bottom for this $2 million bunker. I mean, it's intense.
$2 million
Does it have, like, multiple floors?
It has multiple rooms. Hold on.
Does it have a jacuzzi?
I think it might.
I feel like at that price, it should have a jacuzzi.
Okay, hold on. Oh, there's animal shelters, too. That's very kind.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's important.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is $8.3 million. The Aristocrat Luxury Bunker. This shit has... It has a pool room. It has 2 pool tables and 3 shuffleboard tables and in a game room, but it actually has a physical pool room. It has a gym. It has storage. It has a full kitchen. It's got a garage that looks like it could fit 6 cars. And this all goes underground, mind you. It has a gun range, a bowling alley. I mean, this is very...
A gun range? Did you say a gun range?
It does.
I mean, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Again, doomsday preppers.
Oh my god.
So just remember, that's what Donnie Two Scoops most likely has as his underground bunker. Because you know when he talked about how the first presidential action he made was updating nuclear warheads, because by nuclear warheads he meant the underground bunker. I know there's some gold-plated shit in that. Ha ha ha. Anyway, so this is crazy. And the one that we were, like, looking at had just a set of bunk beds. So, you know, Zach would get one bed and then we would get the other one. I was all for the super cheap one in which everybody just shares a bed or gets, like, a lead sleeping bag or something, but...
A lead sleeping bag.
Don't
and
laugh!
And then dies of lead poisoning instead of...
No. The lead keeps the radiation out.
Right, but lead is also not good for you.
It's not, yeah. But it's better than radiation. Lead is more of a slow burn killer. You'll just go...
It's like, pick your adventure.
Right. Choose your...
Choose your own death.
Choose your final adventure.
Yeah. Oh! On that note...
This has been... We started with the apocalypse, we're ending with the apocalypse. Yeah.
Yep.
This has literally been the happiest, saddest show in the world.
Hey. Sometimes you gotta laugh through the weird.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it's okay, because there's never going to be a time when we're not the most powerful nation in the world. So we are cool, guys.
For now.
No, totes cool. So it's cool. All right. So special thank you to our patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jandjack. Or you can go to jandjack.com and click on the become a patron little button that's there. In case you are unfamiliar with Patreon, it just is supporting us each month at a certain level. And you can go and look at the different levels. But the $5 level gets you into a really fun Facebook group. The $15 level gets you, I don't know, a bunch of other shit. I'm tired. I just crashed.
We're going to get you some crap, whatever. It's fine.
A hangout. There's a hangout. There's a patron's choice. There's a whole bunch of things. If you're so inclined. It does help us out, though, in all seriousness. And I realize we just spent a lot of time talking about how the world is going to end. But, like, I have an underground bunker to pay for. So click on that Become a Patron link today. You won't need it. The world is going to end. And you'll never know when mine's built. Because they're going to destroy the paperwork.
You should make that a patron level. They can, like, come hang out.
In the bunker.
Gains you access to the bunker.
Oh my god. Yeah. Maybe.
Watch the apocalypse from the safety of the Glattfelzer bunker.
If we ever get to a point where we start taking in like serious money a month, maybe I will put that aside for a patrons only bunker, and every May we can have a bunker party instead.
That'd be pretty cool.
And all of us tinfoil hat people can have a place to chill.
Yep.
Okay, but anyway, thank you to some special patrons who contribute at a certain level, and you can go on to patreon.com/JanJack and figure out what level that is. And that would be Ed the Creepy Mailman, Molly the Millennial, Tech from Tokyo, and Eckhart Glattfelzer Richner. Thank you guys so very much. Finally, we have an Amazon affiliates link, and if you do your shopping through Amazon and are so inclined to go through our link, that also helps per month. And it's not just us, it's everybody. We share too, because, you know, if it was just us, the men would be complaining that it's not fair that the girls get everything. So we throw them some free DVDs and a couple hundred bucks every month. But that's janjack.com/Amazon. That will take you to the Amazon homepage. And I think that's it. Is there anything else I usually say? I can't remember.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Fantastic. This is going to be a great rest of the week, because when we took our pee break before, I reached into a big handful of gummy bears and I only pulled out the three colors that I like. When does that ever happen?
That's pretty amazing.
It was green, reds, and the clear ones. Those are my faves.
I like the clear ones.
Yeah, no orange and no yellow ones. Oh, Zach loves the orange ones, which are great because I don't feel bad about putting them back in the bag then, because I'm like, somebody's actually going to eat them.
So yeah, sometimes it really is the little things.
It is the little things. But I was like, yeah, this is going to be a great rest of the show. And it was. Anyway, thanks for playing, guys. we'll see you next time. Or will we? If this is the last thing you ever hear from us, think of us fondly. It's been real. It's been great. Get those dick passwords in quick. We might not have fingerprints when they all get burnt off by nuclear war.
Oh, there right. you go. Yeah.
There all right, so on that note, this was the broadcast.
We may or may not see you next week.
May or may not. I think 52 was a good number to go out on.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening to the broadcast with Melissa, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name's Melissa.
And I'm Shandy.
Bye. Peace Bye. Out. Peace. Literally.
Caca.
Caca. Tape caca. Michelle.
Miss.
Miss. Miss. Wee wee. Pee pee. On de pâté.
Wonderful French. I give you an A.
Oh, au revoir, monsieur. Bye.
Bye.